Do you enjoy learning from our podcast guest? You may find our podcast friends at our various Mother Earth News Fairs. There, you may visit their presentations and take a DIY project home from one of our many hands-on workshops, and shop with over 300 vendors specializing in self-sufficiency and natural health. I and other members of the Mother Earth News staff enjoy visiting the fairs and meeting our readers, so keep an eye out for us and say hi. Because we consider you a friend, don't forget to use the link in the podcast for a friendly discount on your tickets. Find out more details and plan your trip to the fair at www.MotherEarthNewsFair.com. I look forward to seeing you there. Hello, friends. I'm Charlotte Brunin, the podcast producer here at Mother Earth News. This episode was recorded at the Mother Earth News Fair in Belden, Texas with Lisa Ziegler. In this episode of Mother Earth News and Friends, we will discuss companion planting and why vegetables love flowers. Again, I'm Charlotte Brunin. Thanks for listening. I'm always looking for more information on how to make my garden thrive. So of course, I'm happy to have had the chance to pick Lisa's brain. Lisa Mason Ziegler is a cut flower farmer, author, and nationally recognized speaker on organic cut flower gardening. Ziegler has been farming since 1998. Her urban 3-acre farm produces thousands of stems of flowers each week in the season. She sells her flowers to florists and through her community-supported agriculture programs. Ziegler is the founder and owner of The Gardener's Workshop, a catalog and online shop offering the gardening tools and supplies she uses in her own garden. She's the author of The Easy Cut Flower Garden, Cool Flowers, and Vegetables Love Flowers. This is Mother Earth News.
So I wanted to talk to you today because I am familiar with Three Sisters Gardening, and I just think it's really great, and I think that that's the first companion planting idea that a lot of people think of or are comfortable with. And you're an expert in so many other different symbiotic plant relationships. And so I wanted to get with you and learn a little bit more. So I have three different sections, and we can either try and hit them separately or
sure.
Or when I was writing this, I was like, really, they're all probably going to come together.
Okay.
Structural helpers, soil amendments, and then symbiotic relationships. So when the plants really are both thriving from each other, as opposed to maybe one being a cover crop or nutritional benefit to the soil where the other one's succeeding.
Sure.
I've dumped a lot on you, but how would you like to?
Well, I'll say this,
okay.
That really the ultimate companion planting is so simple. I think that there is such a deep dive on this subject, and I think that that, in fact, pushes some people away because they think, oh, I can't figure that out, or, mm-hmm. You know, I really don't know enough to kind of attempt that. But here's the bottom line, and this is the bottom line of my new book that's coming out, Vegetables Love Flowers. You just have to have flowers present in your garden, vegetable patch, herb patch, what your landscape, from the first crack of spring until the end of fall. And the key component is to use no pesticides, organic or otherwise. We don't use any chemicals on our farm. And yes, there are surely flowers that are more beneficial to specific pollinators or that do a better job of providing nutrition for the pollinators. Mm-hmm. But the bottom line is you just have to have flowers. And I kind of fell into this when I started flower farming 20 years ago. I was a chemical user. I did use pesticides and synthetic fertilizers. Then as my business got busier and busier, I got more overwhelmed, and I just kind of threw up my hands and said, I don't have time to deal with. We had a couple of pest struggles that I was treating constantly, mm-hmm. and they weren't getting better. And I said, that's it. I just don't have time to do that. I'm going to sell what I'm growing and grow food for our family and just move on. And within a couple of years, all of a sudden, bang, right between the eyes, I woke up one day and realized we're just not really having any thrip problems anymore. Mm-hmm. They're still there a little bit, but things seem to be controlling themselves. And that began my journey of this ultimate companion planting is you just have to have flowers. And I think the struggle, again, for the home gardener mm-hmm. is they'll put a pot of flowers in the corner of their vegetable patch, Mm-hmm. And all of a sudden they bloom for 6 weeks and then they're done. They're cooked.
Right.
And then you're in the middle of the season. You're overwhelmed. Who's thinking about planting more flowers that, you know, A, you aren't eating, so you don't think it contributes. So a cutting garden in the vegetable patch or in your landscape is a perfect vehicle to deliver fresh blooms from early spring right up till fall, because that's exactly what its lifeline is. Mm-hmm. So it just seemed like a marriage made in heaven, to write a book that teaches people why to grow flowers and how to do it, and then to tend it as a cutting garden. And then, of course, the bonus is, guess what? You have tons of cut flowers, even from a small space.
It's so interesting that you say that. I was talking to Hannah Kincaid, the editor-in-chief of Mother Earth Living, yesterday, and we are going to talk to Howard Garrett, and she was just like, I don't really have anything to contribute about pest control because I don't have to deal with any pests.
Exactly.
And she's like, I just don't know. And she said, I think it's because I planted in really fertile soil that maybe my plants did so well. But now that you're saying this, I've seen so many pictures of her garden, and it is flowers and vegetables.
Yeah.
And I bet that's why she's had success. So I can't wait to relay that information to her.
What you're saying is so true, because mm-hmm. that's exactly my circumstance. The place that I farm was my husband's grandparents' homestead. And here's the rub. It was leaf molded and composted for 70 years before I got there. So my plants were naturally more healthy, even mm-hmm. though I didn't know what I was doing in the beginning. And that led me down this path. And then that's right, throw in flowers. And it's actually the way a garden was meant to grow. Mm-hmm. And nature's powerful. People they underestimate the power of pollination, pests. It'll fight pests, provide pollination, fight diseases, if we just give it a hand instead of fussing with it.
That's excellent. I can't wait for your book to come out, Vegetables Love Flowers.
Yeah.
When is that coming out?
It comes out March 27th is when it'll be available. And I really wrote it so that a beginning gardener or a seasoned gardener or a farmer could pick it up and realize, I can do this. About a third of the book is about my organic gardening practices, about how I deal mm-hmm. with these problems. And then, again, what flowers I grow that are the workhorses of a cutting garden, how to tend it as a cutting garden, how to make a simple bouquet for those people that, you know, I mean, I really want to reach those folks that are growing mm-hmm. vegetables that think, why would I even give, and I hear it all the time, why would I give flowers a spot in my garden? In fact, the opening paragraph in the book says that I married into a huge vegetable growing family, and they were like, you're going to grow flowers? Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, it's like nobody realizes flowers are at the root of nature. Without them, we have nothing. Mm-hmm. We have nothing without insects. We have to have them, and they have to have flowers. Mm-hmm. So it's really connecting the dots, and it's a fun book. And hopefully the folks, I've had a couple of reviewers. When I've been at shows with my advanced copy, I've let gardeners take the book back to their room mm-hmm. for overnight and then talk to them the next morning. And I will say that I have turned a couple of diehard vegetable growers, even just spending one night with the book. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, they're ready to plant flowers.
Cool. I will say something else that you kind of brought to my mind. I have bees, and I live in close proximity to my parents. We have family land, so we have little homesteads kind of speckled. And they are about a mile away, so they're in my bees' flight zone. My mother's been growing flowers for my bees and being really helpful, but I cannot break her from using 7.
And I'm just mother, listen to this. You can't do it, and you don't need to do it.
Right, and I'm just like, You're bringing them in.
Mother's Day gift. Yeah. Vegetables love flowers.
Yeah, I know. That's exactly what I was thinking.
But you know, sometimes I am certainly one of those people that never want to step on toes. Mm-hmm. I never want to directly say to people, but I will tell you that my previous life, I was the business manager of a very busy animal hospital for 20 years. Mm-hmm. And I was heavily involved in sport of golden retrievers. And I know from those days mm-hmm. that dogs that romp and live in the presence of chemicals like that being used have a definite increased occurrence of cancer. Mm-hmm. And so when you start throwing grandbabies kids walking. Sure. So that's what began my journey. And when I started farming, it's like, gosh, I have all these dogs that are, you know, running around the garden, pulling up plants because mm-hmm. they want the turnip. And that was enough to scare me out of using sure. chemicals. So, yeah, we have to work on your mom.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, she means well. And I try to buy Yeah, I try to buy different organic pest treatments from the garden stores, but really, I don't know what I'm doing either. So I'm glad also that we're having this conversation today, because I'm just trying to say, like, no seven. Use this instead. It'll be fine. And then it's not always fine or as good for her. So
sometimes people really give it a good old Girl Scout try to mm-hmm. go organic, but then they're struggling. And they try for several months, and then all of a sudden they go out and something has riddled one of their plants and they just can't stand it anymore and they go get a treatment. Mm-hmm. It takes 2 years to restore the natural order of a garden, by the way. So if you've been using chemicals of any kind, that's how long you can expect to have to sit and not use anything and just relax and let nature take its course. But people get frustrated before nature can happen. It's not a quick fix. Mm-hmm. It's not a heal everything. And I guess knowing the consequences with my dogs, with chemicals, was enough to make me stop. And then I just thought, okay, let's wait and see what happens. And so I am known in my region. I'm from Southeastern Virginia, even though I sound like I'm from Georgia. And I am known for my Prestine blooms, how perfect they are, no bug damage, and mm-hmm. we use zero pesticides, organic or otherwise. And if I can do it, as a commercial farmer growing out in the field, anybody can mm-hmm. do it.
Do you do succession planting with your flowers and vegetables?
Yes, we do succession plant. And actually, in the book, we give diagrams to help people to demonstrate just how to succession plant. That's how we get so much out of such a small space.
We'll get back to our conversation in just a moment. Vegetables Love Flowers by Lisa Ziegler will help you fight garden pests and increase your yields the natural way in this tried and true technique. Planting vegetables and flowers together is one of the oldest ways to create a healthy, bountiful garden, but there's more to this method than you might think. Vegetables Love Flowers will walk you through the ins and outs of companion planting, from how it works to which plants go together and how to grow the best garden for your climate. With the right information and some careful planning, you can help your plants thrive and beautify your garden in the process.
Okay, so let's get into some of your favorite plants to pair together and why. Maybe like the easiest pairings for people that are just starting out and wanting to do this right.
Sure. So one of the hot topics these days is our decline of bees, and people tend to focus on honeybees, which mm-hmm. of course are not native bees at all. And so the bumblebee, who's the only bee that can really pollinate tomatoes. Yes, tomatoes have what I say, the little boy part and the little girl part mm-hmm. to pollinate themselves, but they need help to make that happen. And if you want to rely on the wind to do that, you can, but if you want to ramp up the quality of your tomatoes and the volume of your tomatoes, you need to bring bumblebees in.
Okay.
Because bumblebees, if you ever, you know, when a big old black bumblebee lands on you, how they go bzzz, mm-hmm. and that's how you kind of know they're there. That's exactly what they do to a tomato flower. Mm-hmm. And when they do that, it brings the little boy and the little girl part together to pollinate that flower. And they're the only bee that does that. Well, bumblebees, they love so many flowers, but the flowers that I grow on my farm that they really love, that are some of our, by the way, the reason these flowers are a staple flower on our farm is because they're easy to grow. Flower farmers do not grow fussy flowers.
Okay.
So everything that we grow is, it's like you sink or swim on my farm. If you're fussy, I'll mow a 100-foot bed of something. If you're buggy or you just need too much help. So snapdragons are a cool season flower. Mm-hmm. Meaning you plant it when it's either in the fall or in very early spring. My first published book called Cool Flowers mm-hmm. is all about that group. And we plant snapdragons in my Zone 7 garden in the fall. They winter over as a little baby. They're the first to bloom in spring. Bumblebees adore snapdragons. Mm-hmm. So we bring the bumblebees in really, really early in the season as our tomatoes are growing so that we have a full community of bumblebees ready and eager to attack our tomato plants' blossoms, which otherwise, if you didn't have those snaps and other cool flowers to attract those bees and get them in early, your bumblebees really wouldn't be there yet when the bloom started. So that's just one of many ways to do some companion planting.
And snapdragons, what type of soil do they like?
Snapdragons like well-drained, not high organic content, but they benefit from that.
Okay.
So every good drainage is pretty much a blanket statement for most everything. Mm-hmm. And then the fertility can wane a little bit from variety to variety.
Okay. I'm trying to think. What is it that loves carrots? There's something that I read that it's probably the program guide where you mentioned that something loves carrots.
Carrots Loves Tomatoes, I think, is the name of a book.
Oh.
Yes, because, and that's about direct, it's very specific companion planting.
Oh, okay.
But it's funny you should say that. We do grow, it's a daucus, a carrot. It's called Dara or Black Knight, and we don't grow it for the big black carrot in the ground. Mm-hmm. We grow it for the big old flower it grows, which is like a Queen Anne's lace, but it's kind of pink maroon, and it is a huge, while we grow it for the flowers, we also grow it for the beneficial insects, because a great beneficial insect is hoverflies.
Mm-hmm.
They hover, they look like a fly, but they're really a beneficial insect. They're attracted to that flower, and they hover over your garden, mm-hmm. looking for aphids, which is a bad bug.
Right.
And when they find a colony of aphids, they come down and lay an egg, and guess what their babies eat when they hatch? Aphids. So when I think of growing carrots in my garden, I think of the flower carrot that we grow.
Mm-hmm.
And after we're done harvesting it, we leave it to bloom on. And it is, on a 2 o'clock on a summer afternoon, if you go out to that bed, there are literally thousands of good bugs,
mm-hmm.
many of which are hoverflies, who, this is what happens to you when you farm full time. You start getting into bugs and what they do and mm-hmm. don't do, and it's really, really just so awesome.
Well, what do you think? Where do you want to take this?
I think what people really need to just realize is that you don't have to have a deep understanding of companion planting, because when people read the tagline on the book is companion planting for beauty and bounty. And it's really, people say, oh gosh, I grew marigolds because I had such and such pest. And that's wonderful.
Mm-hmm.
But the message of this book is that you just have to grow flowers, period.
Mm-hmm.
Have them from early spring, which cool flowers, that book's 30 or so flowers featured are those early bloomers. I attribute to my great success with organic gardening because I launched my farming career 20 years ago with that group of flowers.
Mm-hmm.
And that just brings the good bugs and the pollinators in weeks and weeks earlier than the season typically starts for most people. And that it's just as simple as that. Plant flowers. Get them going early. Do not use chemicals, pesticides, organic or otherwise.
Mm-hmm.
And this can happen for you. You don't have to study deeply about, well, I'm planting eggplant. What am I going to plant next to it? This is about dropping a little island of flowers via a cutting garden in the middle of your vegetable patch.
Okay.
And by harvesting those flowers, just like you harvest your vegetables, we'll keep them producing all season long. And you'll keep these good guys in your garden right where you want them.
Okay. Do you always do cutting flowers? I know you said you keep the carrots. Is there anything else that you leave?
We try to do that as much as possible. So what happens, because I am a strong succession person, the hardest thing for succession planting for most people, and I totally get it, is when you have a working cutting garden or a vegetable patch, which if you've planted a vegetable garden, that's not for your visual appreciation. That is to produce food for with the least amount of work.
Mm-hmm.
To make the most of that, as soon as, let's just say your beans, you've picked your beans and they really aren't producing a whole lot anymore. There's still some, but a pest has come in. You're so much smarter to rip that crop out, hardest thing for anybody to do is mm-hmm. to pull a crop that is still producing and replace it with something else. And so we do a lot of, that's how we get so much from a small space. However, if I don't have a crop ready to go into a specific bed that is still producing, I'll think to myself, let's leave those carrots. Let's leave those snapdragons because the bumblebees have like taken the bed over. We're really not cutting from it anymore. The blooms aren't as good a quality as we need. So we do that as much as we can, whenever we can. And, you know, that makes a big, big difference, a really big difference. And the black-eyed Susans,
yeah.
huge crop for native bees, huge crop for native bees. And so after we finish cutting, I'll say, okay, nothing's ready to go in. We'll leave it, let it make seeds so the birds come in and benefit from it. So, yeah, we do that.
Yep. Black-eyed Susans, by the way, are the only thing that I've grown very successfully because they just want to live and thrive. So I have shady, sandy soil.
Okay.
And I am having trouble finding things that really want to live there. I mean, our vegetable patch does okay, but...
Well, you just first off need to slide a row of flowers into your vegetable patch. And compost and leaf mold fix all problems. If you have heavy clay soil, I have sandy soil too. So I hear you. It's like everything you pour into it runs right through it, water and everything. And the leaf mold and compost make it more of a sponge to hold. And my most beloved, I often have said my next book really needs to be on shade gardening. I have the most beautiful and beloved shade garden. And because a lot of people, just like you, struggle. We all have trees. We want shade.
Right.
People want shade. But unfortunately, I'm not sure why the full sun flowers always seem to take the front row seat, not only in nurseries, but in books. But what a delightful place, a sedate place. We have a huge shade garden right outside my back door, and that's where we always want to hang out. So I hear you.
Yep. I love sitting in the shade. We have, you know, trees that are hundreds of years old around my house, and so we definitely don't want to lose those, but it would be nice to have a little more color in the yard.
Well, I'll tell you in a nutshell what I do to my shade garden. Hellebores, which are Lenten roses. Do you grow them? Okay. Deer don't eat them. They're evergreen. They look beautiful. They'll grow at the foot of huge, thirsty trees with no problem. They're blooming right now. I just actually posted, I think, on my Facebook page. Okay. I left them at home, and then we pop in other shade-loving perennials and then put huge pots for summer color. And it's the only way to manage those beautiful trees that suck the life out of everything under it. So that's what we plant there, things that will perform in spite of the majestic, huge trees.
Yeah. Cool. Is there anything else that you'd like to let our listeners know before we start wrapping up?
Well, I just really want to reach out to those folks that aren't currently growing flowers in their landscape, in their vegetable patch, because they think, flowers, you know? But flowers are at the root of everything. And I speak a lot to commercial flower farmers. And last week I was honored to give the keynote address to a couple hundred of them. And I spoke to them that flower farmers, as our industry is really got a bunch of young people coming in to become flower farmers have the opportunity to help restore the monarch butterfly, all of the bee issues by farming without pesticides and bringing flowers back, because flowers are at the root of everything. As much as we kind of got away from that, shucks, 50 years ago, everybody had a row of flowers. You know, Grandma had a row of zinnias, number one most popular flower, by the way. We have an online store where we sell the same seeds that we sell in tools, and that's the number one seed we sell, and in the commercial world, that is the number one flower requested. They're so simple and easy to grow, and they bring in the butterfly. If you want butterflies and hummingbirds and monarchs and bees, and plant a row of flowers in your garden, and Vegetables Love Flowers really lays the groundwork, especially for you flower lovers. If you have a vegetable grower in your family that resists flowers, this is the book for you to give to them, because I just lay it out really about how I married into that, and everybody has been converted. Everybody mm-hmm. understands the flowers, and just an example of how alive our farm is. The photographer of my book is Bob Scammerhorn, and he was a nature photographer. He could hardly focus on the photo shoot days of the things we had to shoot, because our farm is so alive with birds and bees and butterflies and mm-hmm. The way people imagine a garden should be. So, you know, flower power is bigger than what people think. Yeah. So we have a great website that has lots of how-tos and mm-hmm. videos and stuff that they can go to and learn more about. And I do virtual book studies with my books. Okay. And so you can go to our website and just go to the book. And on the book page for Vegetables Love Flowers, you can sign up. It's free. And we drop a little video in your email box once a week. And mm-hmm. then we'll go through the book together, chapter by chapter, of me connecting the dots, and we allow people to make comments on the video page so you can ask your questions, and I'll do my best to address and answer them. And, you know, because this is a powerful message in this book for every gardener, not over-the-top gardeners. This is for every home, for every garden, to really help us all put the pieces back together to get our environment in shape, one yard at a time.
Well, thank you so much, Lisa.
My pleasure.
What is your website, by the way?
It's thegardenersworkshop.com.
Okay.
And, or you can just Google Lisa Ziegler, and all of those things will bring it up.
Okay, excellent. And we'll make sure to have links to everything in our show notes for you so that people can find you easily if they enjoy this podcast.
Hey, thanks so much. It's my pleasure.
Yep, thank you.
You just listened to a conversation between myself, Charlotte Brunin, and Lisa Ziegler. If you're interested in learning more about what you've heard in this episode, visit MotherEarthNews.com/podcast for more information and resources. You may also find links from this episode in the show notes. If you've enjoyed this episode, please subscribe to stay up to date through your favorite podcast provider or our website, MotherEarthNews.com/podcast. Please rate and leave us a review to let us know what you think of the show. Give us a share so that we may continue sharing our friendly conversations with you. If you'd like to get in touch, please send your mail to MotherEarthNewsPodcast@gmail.com. Thanks for joining us. I'm podcast producer Charlotte Brunin. Our podcast production team includes Haley Casey, Jessica Mitchell, and Robert Riley. Zach Slayton provided our music. Mother Earth News and Friends podcast is a production of Ogden Publications. Do you enjoy learning from our podcast guest? You may find our podcast friends at our various Mother Earth News fairs. There, you may visit their presentations and take a DIY project home from one of our many hands-on workshops, and shop with over 300 vendors specializing in self-sufficiency and natural health. I and other members of the Mother Earth News staff enjoy visiting the fairs and meeting our readers, so keep an eye out for us and say hi. Because we consider you a friend, don't forget to use the link in the podcast for a friendly discount on your tickets. Find out more details and plan your trip to the fair at www.MotherEarthNewsFair.com. Until next time, don't forget to love your mother.